Jesus met the woman at the well. Sing it if you know. Jesus met the woman at the well. Jesus met the woman at the well, and he told her everything she'd ever done. Old folk song, huh? Peter, Paul, and Mary? Any of you that old? Thank God. They told me everything I'd ever done. So I look around the parish, and I've been here for a while, so I've got to know some of you so well. And I can tell you that some of the people in this church today lead lives of such grace and simplicity and heroic holiness. And when I was thinking about what I was going to say this morning, I said, you know, if Jesus had to tell those people everything they'd ever done, he'd need, like, I don't know, an egg timer? Wouldn't be very long conversation. That's how holy they are. They're amazing. Now, for the rest of us, Jesus might need something like a sundial. You know, it would be, you know, buckle in. This is going to take a while. So for you egg timer people, just kind of, this is not for you. Just lay back and relax. I'm speaking for all of us who are in the sundial group this morning. It's the first sense that we would have if Jesus told us everything that we'd ever done, it would be boring in no time flat. Boring. And here's why. Because if you go down the list of commandments, the Ten Commandments, the breaking of any one of those commandments, as you go through your mind, and I know some of you learned them when you were little, but the breaking of any one of those commandments involves, according to some theologians, some form of theft, of stealing. So, you know, kind of like move through them. The God-related commandments, worship God alone, respecting God's name. All of those deal with not stealing the honor and the place in our lives that God is due. Or we elevated something else to be as important as God. It's idol worship. We made an idol out of something. The third commandment I want to come back to, so, you know, as far as, you know, respect the Sabbath day, huh? Respect the Sabbath day. Make sure that rest is part of your life, and I want to come back to that one. The honoring of our parents is to not steal the honor, not take away the honor that they are due. As our first teachers and models of Christian life, and even if they weren't perfect, to not steal the honor that is due to our ancestors. In Spanish, we antepasados, but not to deprive them of the honor and respect at any time. To hurt somebody or kill somebody is to steal their life unjustly. When we get involved in a relationship that is adulterous, we steal from someone the right to a holy relationship and the integrity of that relationship. We draw somebody out and away from that. Okay, so you see, theft, stealing, taking away comes up again and again and again. The commandment, there is a commandment, don't steal. Don't steal. When we go to court, we swear falsely. We deprive somebody of their right for justice. We take it away. They can't get a fair trial if we, as witnesses, are going to swear falsely. Don't perjure yourself, nor steal anybody's reputation away from them. There's varieties of sins. And then, of course, we move into don't covet, which is, in a sense, that's saying, not only don't steal, don't even think of stealing. Don't even let it enter your head. No. So all of the commandments are kind of postured around this. Don't steal, don't take away. Okay? So this way it would be boring. You know, no time flat, Jesus would say, well, okay, you did this. You stole. You were a thief. I want to come back to that commandment on observe the Sabbath rest. Observe the Sabbath rest. Because I think all of us in our lives get so involved, engaged, pulled into this pace of life and the demands that we have on our plate, that it deprives us. The stealing of the third commandment, you know, the commandment around rest, is that we don't take the place, we don't make a place and respect a place in our life for contemplation and reflection and gratitude. We're the only creatures on the face of this planet that can be grateful. Let's kind of do a thought experiment here. How many are pet owners here? You own a dog, you own a cat, you own a goldfish, something like that. Okay, so we have a fair number of people. Now, if you take out one of those milk bone treats and you flip it to Fido, what's going to happen? He's going to go, whoop. And his first thought after that will not be, man, I'm so lucky to have this person for my owner. How thoughtful they are. I promise you that will not happen. What he's going to be thinking is, not anymore, where that came from. You know, it's like, what's next? And so, I said, you know, even these dogs are capable, and our pets are capable of reflecting back love and affection towards us. There are good qualities to them, but they can't be grateful. So in respecting a rest, it offers us an opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for these blessings that we have received, O Lord. And when we deprive ourselves because we got, oh my goodness, we have obligations. We got work, we got worries. Well, it's a shopping day. Maybe the kids have a soccer game or whatever it is. And so there's always some place to go. There's always something to do. But if we deprive ourselves of the chance to come together as a community and take the opportunity to say thank you to God, we're missing out on an essential and elemental part of our own humanity. We've got to recover something only we as humans can do. The other thing that gets lost in this is the time to reflect and contemplate. That in busyness and engagement and occupation, yeah, we're seriously focused on what the matter is at hand. Or maybe we have an important job. Okay. It's constantly pulling us back and into and away from any sense of taking a breath, contemplation, and simply being. I can promise you this. Whatever it is kind of job that you're doing, when the day comes that you can't do that job anymore, they're going to find somebody else to do it. And say, what a nice guy or what a nice person this was. Who else? Who's next in line? We can get in here to do this. And yet, our jobs, our occupations become so dominant, central to our lives, they kind of like get embedded in our identity, who we are. In contemplation and reflection, we step back, and it's a place of fertile ground for imagination. Imagination is critical to how we function as human beings. Let me show you how this works. How many people have kids in this church? Raise your hands. Okay. When you thought about having kids, or maybe the kid's on the way, and then you think, well, okay, I know what love for a child is going to be like. But then the child actually shows up. And then you learn a way of loving that you hadn't even imagined. You learn a way to love that didn't even enter your mind. In contemplating a God who loves us beyond imagination, we have to use our imagination to connect with that Lord. Other significant, think those of us who have been blessed with a marriage partner, a relationship that's so primary in our lives, that this person that we took in marriage on the day we married them, and then we found out, this is not the person I thought I was going to marry. I now know so much more, that I love this person more than I could have possibly imagined on the day we married them. That's the hallmark of love that's growing. It's growing because you're at a different point. You love more than you could possibly have imagined. It's in rest and contemplation, in gratitude, and a time for us to imagine the greater love to which we are all called. That's that third commandment. Somebody who's working all the time, driven, the definition of a slave is somebody who is obligated to work and may not rest. And putting rest on the level of commandment, God continues God's creative process. We are becoming the people that we haven't even imagined being. We are imagining love that God calls us to that we don't even sense yet. Come away, be still, rest, and know that I am God. Amen.